So for these people, they cannot have you ask questions of substance, because everything on a lie. Climate, all those climate programs, all built on lies. The whole race narrative, all built on lies. Does that mean there's no racism? Does that mean there's no difference? No. But what do? They want to take race, they want to take differences, and they want to create them, turn them into problems which can never, ever be solved. So the color of your skin, you can't change it. Therefore, you can never solve this problem.
Yep.
Unbiased racism, it's unconscious. If you're not conscious of it, you can't fix it. And if you look in all of these places, they create issues. Like as a man, you're going to have masculine instincts. They now teach you that masculine instinct is evil. It's a problem, can never be solved. CO2. We create CO2 as we breathe out. It's critical for life on Earth. You will never, ever, they created a nonsense problem that can also never be solved, because to remove CO2 from the earth is to kill all life on earth. So once you start to recognize the tactics, it becomes very, very simple. It's easy. You don't have to be a genius to see the same tactics playing out over and over again. Transgenderism, it's the same thing. This is an attack on us as we were created, to break down communication, to isolate us so that we can be controlled. Why do they have to kill the food supply? Because they have to control what we eat. We have to control our movements. And of course they react like this about race, because at the end of the day, people don't really care. But we do gravitate towards our own. We do like to be with people who understand us. When you marry someone, what is the biggest thing that tears people apart? That my wife doesn't get me. She doesn't understand me. Well, you know, you can, if you're overseas and you bump into somebody from, you know, the United States, you might not have talked to that person back home. But when you're there, you have this common shared history of being American. And so that brings you together. Well, look all over America, New York. The Chinese gravitated towards each other in Chinatown, in Little Italy. I mean, we instinctively gravitate towards our own. So it's okay to do that. But they've made those things that are natural and instinctive in us, they've made those war crimes. Well,
so that was Lisa Logan with a very powerful statement about just the lies that are consuming the modern world. I think one of the ways to understand this is you've got somebody like Bill Gates, right, who is... Now he's sort of doubling back on his claims about climate change. But, you know, obviously he puts himself forward as somebody who's like just hyper concerned about environmentalism and all this stuff. Meanwhile, we've got Chinese fishing fleets that are the size of like entire nations just destroying life in the ocean. And people online will be like, oh, you're exaggerating. No, they literally, like in the Philippines, the Chinese fishing fleets have destroyed 50% of the coral reefs that were there. They're gone. They'll never return. They have been utterly and completely eviscerated by the Chinese fishing practices, where they not only just dredge the bottom of the ocean and, you know, just fish until the fish are gone. They don't leave any stock there to replenish for next year. And they do it on purpose to deplete the fishing supplies of the countries that they, you know, park off the coast of. And it's like, okay, you would think that this would be like a major concern for somebody like Bill Gates, if his real concern is environmentalism. If he's actually concerned about protecting the earth, why is he not pointing out the massive, unrelenting, city-sized fishing fleets that China has deployed all over the world? And I mean, it's ridiculous. And we want to go to my screen. You can just see some of this. These Chinese fishing fleets are so large, they're visible from space and work as vacuums, vacuuming the ocean over which they pass. Dry of life. It's horrific. It's destroyed fisheries off South America in particular. Paired with that, the PRC destroyed 95% of the Florida orange groves with orange blight. Like all this sort of stuff. And you would think dark geolocation reveals suspicious Chinese fishing fleet behavior. They're destroying the ocean outside of the Galapagos Islands. You would think that somebody like Bill Gates would be annoyed at this, until you understand that this is actually perfectly in line with his vision of the world. Actually, it would be really convenient for him if the bounty of the ocean was completely depleted and all of the seafood had to come from seafood farms in warehouses, because then it's controllable. Then you can cut off the supply if you need to. Then people can't just go out and survive without you, the kingpin in the middle, orchestrating all of it. So it's this exact type of thing where if anything that they said was even remotely legitimate, they would be concerned about things like the Chinese fishing fleet. Instead, they're in favor of that stuff because it destroys the natural world and allows them to create a controlled alternative.
Hey, the Alex Jones app, AJN Live, is now the number one app in the world. That's right, you heard me. We're number one. And this is pissing off the Democrats in the deep state big time. They're doing everything they can to shut us down, and now here we are, dominating the Apple Store.
Smells like victory.
We just launched the app less than 2 days ago, and we're already the number one news app in the world. And we'd like to keep it that way, so if you haven't done so yet, now's your chance. Go to alexjonesapp.com and download the app and tell the globalists to go f*** themselves.
Putting the power of conversation into the caller's hands, you're tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith.
Welcome back, folks. This is the American Journal. I'm going to open up phone lines for your calls this hour, as we should be tuning into the Pentagon in the next hour to watch the press conference. Brandon Morello is there. And she's looking forward to asking some questions of the Pentagon leadership. So I'm going to go ahead and open up the phone lines now. The number to dial is 1-877-789-2539. 1-877-789-2539. I just want to know, what is your take on what the most important story to cover right now is? Because I could keep going on the FBI and just the absurdity of the Kash Patel leadership there. And getting into just like the reality of the FBI and the CIA and who their real leadership is. And we could get into that. We could continue on the Chinese fishing fleet story, since that is picking up steam. People are actually talking about that now. Story that I've been trying to hammer out for the last 5 years or so, desperately trying to warn people and tell people about these Chinese fishing fleets and the horrific damage that they cause that is truly irreparable. But it is completely ignored by the people that supposedly care about nothing more than saving the earth. In fact, I just put in a new video of that Chinese distant water fleet. We can go to that. There's been a lot of new information about this. New evidence suggests China's dark vessels poached into Galapagos waters. A fleet of Chinese-owned fishing vessels crowded along the edge of Ecuador's exclusive economic zone near the Galapagos Island between June and September, prompting international concern that they would illegally fish in Ecuador's territorial waters. Several vessels turned off their GPS automatic identification system, possibly to avoid discovery while partaking in illegal activities, several sources said. In late June, a fleet of about 300 Chinese fishing vessels swarmed around the rich, biodiverse waters of the Galapagos Islands, armed with overhead lights and industrial jigging machines to attract and catch squid. For the next few months, the vessels remained around the edge of the Ecuadorian island's exclusive economic zone, raising concerns that the fleet would overexploit the squid and capture endangered species such as rays and sharks. Another worry was also hovering: would the vessels enter the EEZ and illegally fish, putting even more pressure on the declining marine region, violating Ecuador's sovereignty? Again, it's do these economic zones really matter that much? I mean, do you think the fish adhere to them? They're depleting the water of ocean life. Like, they're depleting the ocean of life. And when it's gone, it's gone. Doesn't matter if it's in an economic zone or not. Chinese ambassador to Ecuador said the fleet followed international fishing regulations and did not partake in any illegal activity. However, that's probably a lie. Almost certainly a lie. And, I mean, it's happening in Galapagos. It's happening in the Philippines. It's happening off the coast of Peru and Argentina. It's happening everywhere, and nobody's doing anything about it. And it's absolutely horrific. Let's go to this video, because it's you know, it's not just the destroying life thing. It's also the human rights abuses and the fact that these people fish in the waters off of countries who would be kind of happy to, like, let them do that as long as they, like, docked at the country, maybe sold some of their fish to that country, or at least bought fuel and things to that country. But China operates what they call a mothership system. So these fleets that are all around the world, they circumnavigate the globe, but they never touch anywhere but China. And if they need supplies, they have this relay system where all of their supplies come from China and all of their stock is shipped back to China, and the countries whose water they're depleting don't benefit at all from the fishing that takes place there. So why would we not do something about this? Why would we not sanction this, or at least speak up about it? Why is the UN not concerned? Why is climate change people not concerned? Because they don't actually care about the environment. They don't actually care about life on Earth. They don't actually care about preserving the climate. They care about control. And what China is doing contributes to their ability to control you. The exact same reason they're shutting down cattle ranches all over the world, but specifically here in America. The same reason they're injecting mRNA vaccines into, every livestock population on Earth. They're trying to destroy your ability to feed yourself so that all food comes from giant factory farms that they dictate and control. Really, I mean, it's like when you understand what their real motivation is, it's not really confusing anymore, all of their hypocrisy. It actually all makes sense. They just lie. As long as you stop listening to what they say and start paying attention to what they do, it actually is all perfectly clear. Here's a little brief news report about these Chinese fishing fleets.
Americans know little about how their seafood is sourced. Much of it comes from a vast fleet of Chinese ships, but on board, human rights abuses are rampant. Fueled by the world's growing and insatiable appetite for seafood, China has dramatically expanded its reach across the high seas. With as many as 6,500 ships, China now accounts for more than double the ships in comparison of its closest global competitor, Taiwan. With over 95 foreign ports, China's preeminence at sea has come at a cost. The country is largely unresponsive to international laws. According to Outlaw Ocean Report, China's fleet are responsible for most of the illegal fishing in the world. Many experts say that such uncontrolled fishing is also driving many fish species to the brink of extinction. Its ships are also rife with labor trafficking, debt bondage, violence, criminal neglect, and death. The human rights abuses on these ships are happening on an industrial and global scale, Steve Trent, the CEO of the Environmental Justice Foundation, has said. When the Environmental Justice Foundation interviewed 116 Indonesian crew members, it was found about 97% of them experienced debt bondage or confiscation of guaranteed money and documents, and over 58% reported having seen or experienced physical violence. Compared with other countries, China has not only been less responsive to international regulations, but also less transparent about its fishing boats and processing factories. Since a large proportion of fish consumed in the U.S. is caught or processed by China, it is especially difficult for companies to know whether the products they sell are tainted by illegal fishing or human rights abuses. Squid fishing, or jigging in particular, has grown with American appetites.
It's probably our fault, isn't it? It's probably Americans' fault that the Chinese are doing this. I mean, kind of. We let them get away with it. Again, I mean, do you want to see some other consequences of what they do? Let's go to this video. Here's a reminder. China has destroyed 20,000 acres of coral reefs in the South China Sea, mostly in the Philippines and Vietnamese waters. Here's what the water looks like. It used to be a coral reef, like the Great Barrier Reef. It used to just be this, like Finding Nemo. It was like, explosion of color and fish and everything. Here's what happens. Here's what it looks like after the Chinese fishing fleet hangs out over the coral reef for a little while. Let's go to that video. There you go. Dipping under, and it's just dead. A giant undersea desert with all of the sort of skeletal remains of the coral reef. There you see just a bunch of death, just a bunch of nothing. This used to be a coral reef. This used to be like a tropical rainforest underwater. Now it's nothing. Why? Because the Chinese have just completely strip-mined it of life. 20,000 acres of coral reefs destroyed forever. They're not coming back anytime soon. So Thanks, China. We can see what this looks like. We can go to this next video. 525 fishing boats in Peruvian waters, while Peru itself barely had 239. So twice as many Chinese boats off the Peruvian coast than Peruvian boats. And we can go to this video and watch the red dots. The red dots are the Chinese dots, the Chinese boats, rather. And you can see as they swarm the Peruvian waters. Now, technically, they're in, you know, international waters, but you can actually see the red dots disappear sometimes because they're actually dipping into the economic zone. About 20% of all fish worldwide are caught in this area. In 2024, 1,359 fishing vessels operated within 500 nautical miles of Peru's exclusive economic zone. And almost all of them were Chinese. More than half of them. Of those 1,359 vessels, 525 were Chinese, that's 38%, 370 were Ecuadorian, and 239 were Peruvian. So again, the point of this is, if you were actually concerned about this, if you were actually concerned about the environment, you're actually concerned about, you know, anything that these people claim, you know, require incredible, you know, government involvement to fix, they would be concerned about this. They're not concerned about this because in their worldview, it's better that shrimp and tuna and salmon all come from factory farms, you know, somewhere in Montana, than actually fished out of the ocean, because fishing out of the ocean is kind of like just a thing between you and God. There's no Bill Gates in between you. You know, it's just God provides the bounty, you harvest it. Where's the kickback? What can they tax if you just are pulling fish out of the water? How can they control you if you can just feed yourself without their intervention? No, they would rather destroy life on Earth, destroy the natural bounty of the planet, and pack you into a city and feed you out of a factory farm. It's horrific, but that's literally their vision of the world. That's what they want. That's what they're pursuing. All of the claims about climate change and environmentalism is a lie. It's all a lie. And it goes on and on. I could keep going with this. I mean, the information about these Chinese fishing fleets is, I don't think you can spend too much time on it. China's state-subsidized fishing fleet overfishes and uses damaging methods like seafloor scraping. These fleets also hide their locations and fish in waters of foreign countries. This requires international attention, as many governments cannot counter these fleets. But nobody's really doing anything to try it. And you can actually see in this image where you have these red dots that are actually in the exclusive economic zone, which, again, to me is not really the concern. Look at all of these fishing boats. And it's just these, you know, locust swarms that just swarm around the world forever. It's insane. Insane that we allow this to go on. Let's go to your calls now. And actually, you know what? Let's go to Don in Oklahoma, because this goes into another aspect of control. Food, obviously, very potent lever for controlling populations. Water is even more so. And I think this is already happening. Like, we've been warning about it for a while. And if you pay attention to the moves of the elite, you know that they are very, very, very concerned at scooping up and buying up land that has fresh water on it. And they're, you know, like the CEO of Nestle a decade ago on video saying, you know, nobody has water is not a human right, and you have to pay for it. And we bought up all the sources. So, you know, they're going to profit off your need to survive. And right now, do you know that Iran is in, like, a major drought? I believe the vast majority of the dams and aquifers in Iran are at like 15% capacity across the entire country, and there's water rationing all over Iran right now. And I can't help but wonder, I can't help but notice the coincidence that the country that the New World Order seems to want destroyed more than anything else also seems to be experiencing a limitation of water, which we know the New World Order has recently announced is going to be a major method of their control. After all, we've seen things like the World Economic Forum and the Global Governance Council, you know, make these videos where they're like, everybody understands water. You know, the COVID was a little bit too disconnected from the immediate concerns, you know, but people, when they're thirsty, they understand how important water is. So that's a real powerful lever to control people. I mean, they say this stuff openly. And now Iran is like basically collapsing because of their lack of water. Don in Oklahoma, what do you think about the use of water as a method of control these days? I'm not sure if that's what you're calling about, but it seems related. Don from Oklahoma, you're on the air.
Howdy. Yeah, I was wanting to talk about, you know, like I live in the Mississippi watershed, you know, in like the Rocky Mountains to the Appalachians.
Mm-hmm.
That all drains through here. So you got them spraying all this stuff. I mean, GMO crops, that all washes down these rivers, like, say, Palestine, Ohio,
yep,
where they lit those tankers on fire with the PVC, polyvinyl chloride.
Yep.
And contaminated the rivers clear down into New Orleans, into the Gulf of Mexico. I mean, America.
That's right.
You know, all that stuff gets contaminated. And you got the people, idiots like Bill Gates. I mean, they're literally trying to murder us with that stuff. And I think we ought to use our military to bomb them. You know, for example, like Fukushima. Oh, nuclear power is so cheap. It's too cheap to meter is what they used to say. But when those, what, four or five plants of Fukushima blew up, all that pollution is still running out into the Atlantic. So do you really want to buy some seafood that comes out of some of those areas? Because I guarantee it's going to be hot.
Mm-hmm.
But you never hear anything about that. Since shortly after that happened, there used to be monitors on it. But anyway, you know, we can't, there's a book 200 years ago, an old Indian guy goes, I see the way the white man lives, and it's not possible to continue on. At some point it ends. Well, it looks to me like we're getting to the end of it. For example, like this little prairie here, it runs all the way from the Gulf America to Canada, into Canada, it can't contain this, though. You know, it's not infinite to clean itself, like the Brazilian rainforest, and say the same way with the ocean. They go, well, a little more radiation ain't going to hurt us.
Mm.
Yeah, buddy. Shoot yourself up with it first. But anyway,
yep,
that's about it.
No, yeah, you're exactly right. I got. Yeah, nothing to disagree with you on. Yeah, the Fukushima thing, I mean, that in and of itself is really worthy of a deep dive, considering the fact that, like, the CIA built it, and it was built on a fault line. It seems like it was kind of almost, like, set up to fail. And then, you know, I don't know if you've been watching the show for a while, you know, this is maybe my favorite conspiracy theory. The fact that the, I think, possibly deliberate destruction of the Fukushima site led to the migrant crisis in Europe. If you're not aware of this, the election was going on in Germany at the time. It was a contest between two parties, one of which Angela Merkel was the head of, and that was the anti-nuclear power party. The German election was basically a big referendum on nuclear power, and right in the middle of this election season, Fukushima happens. So, of course, the anti-nuclear power party wins. That was Angela Merkel's party. She opens the borders to Europe, and you get the migrant crisis. So in a weird way, the Fukushima plant, the only plant built by America in Japan that happened to be on a fault line, that happened to be right near the ocean, that melted down and poisoned the ocean with thousands of tons of radiated water, just happened to occur at the exact moment to get Angela Merkel elected to open the borders to flood Europe. I don't know if that was planned, but certainly was convenient for, you know, the worst people in the world, for the people who seemed desperate, obsessed with destroying the planet. It all seemed to work out very well for them. Thanks for the call, Don. Let's go to Judy in Florida. Thanks for calling in. Judy, you're on the air.
Hey, good to talk to you, Harrison. And it's one of those phone calls where, I mean, there's too much to discuss, of course, but I guess I'll just go with what a friend and I were discussing last night. And the fact that he sent me a text this morning from, and I sent it to you in message, in fact, from Bar Chart on X, that there was $13.5 billion that of liquidity that was put into the banking system. and it actually surpassed the peak of the dot-com bubble as to, you know, what they actually, you know, injected into the system. And, of course, it's going to cause inflation. And it's like, you know, everything points away from the actual culprits of inflation to, you know, everything else, it's everybody else's fault. And it's just that those that control the banking system and those like Bill Gates, and the previous caller said he's stupid or whatever. No, he's just murderous. You know, all these people that are actually just trying to depopulate the planet are just actively at work, and it's all evil. And, you know, I've talked to you and InfoWars long enough that you guys know I come from the spiritual aspect of it all. And it's like, okay, so who do the people that, you know, can't be mentioned for fear of reprisal, who do they serve? Who did China actually serve without, you know, saying it's the state? Who do they actually serve? Who is Allah? Okay? So we have what I care about on the planet is America. Look what's happening in America, other than, you know, I'll bring it to what Operation Warp Speed did to my children, because to this day, both of them still think that I'm the crazy one, but they've taken the injections. So it's like, as a mom, you know, forget the mama bear principle, right? The damage is done. So it's likely, and I think I've said this on air to you before, no children for my children, no grandchildren for Judy. The lineage cut off. So it's like, why would I care about the mechanisms or who's trying to shut me up at this point? After the discussion my friend and I had, and I'm going to mention Stu Peters' documentary, Occupied. I suggest everybody go and watch it. It's the fact that it's been systematic, it's been a continuation, it's an orchestration, and we're just being dragged along. You know, there was a reason through centuries why there was what was called white flight. So, I mean, we're, what, 7% of the global population. We're just trying to survive. And, you know, the ones that can't be named, they will call themselves white when they feel like it, when it suits them. Otherwise, you know, they're the ones that are actually attacking us, as far as I'm concerned, because they have the means to do so. And we're Christians. And this, you know, I don't know how much longer you even want to listen to me, but I'm not Judeo-Christian. I'm a Gentile.
Yeah.
And I'm a Christian.
I completely understand your fury, Judy, and I think more and more people are getting pushed to that point. I'll just say the thing is that you have to, like, you have to keep going on your research and understand the way that this dichotomy is useful to the evil people, and just, yeah, stop. I mean, I've ranted about this on War Room for like an hour yesterday, just telling white people, like, you got to stop being ashamed of yourself. You got to stop allowing other people to dictate what you find offensive and whether or not you're allowed to defend yourself or celebrate yourself. It's just all a giant psyop. And the other end of that psyop is, you know, convincing you either have to be like a total multicultural cuck, you know, suicidal as a race, or you have to be hateful and vicious. The reality is we just have to defend ourselves. It's not complicated.
My fellow InfoWarriors, we are having right now, in late November into early December, the biggest sale in the history of InfoWars. That's in 28 years. You know why? It's the InfoWars closing mega blowout sale. And some would say, well, the bad guys are about to take it over. Why should we support it? There's not even enough money in here to keep us running until they have the state auction, or they're saying mid-December to early January. And here's the catch. If they have a real auction and allow good guys to come in and bid, well, then we'll just continue on. I just won't be the owner. But you already saw the federal auction that even the judge said was a fraud and wasn't real to The Onion and Bloomberg and the Democrats. And so because they're the plaintiffs and they control what's happening through the state court judge that ran the original show trial on us, I'm not holding my breath. I mean, barring a miracle, they're going to, you know, auction it to themselves for $1 or whatever, and then this place shuts down. We've got the Alex Jones Network, our great sponsor, Bigly. But I'll tell you this, we'll shut down for sure if funds don't come in to InfoWarsStore.com. Because remember, last year, when The Onion, this time last November, announced that they owned us, sales went down over 75% and have stayed like that because people were like, well, we're not going to give them money. But of course, the judge ruled they didn't buy it. And of course, The Onion says now they intend to try to bid and get it again.
What would you control?
I mean, I really would like to control InfoWars.
No, that's a good answer.
But regardless, it doesn't matter. Our tank is on zero, basically. Okay, we're on E. This is just enough money coming in with the products we have to pay the payroll, to keep the lights on, and to operate to see if this final Hail Mary shot with the state auction works and if good guys are actually allowed to buy it. So remember, the plaintiffs have said they don't want money. They want us off the air. So I'm not going to give up. I'm going to go right to the line here. And this is the biggest sale. You ever heard us say 75% off? That's right. And the products we have are products with great manufacturers, supplement makers that love us and have been giving it to us on spec. So this is all fresh, ladies and gentlemen. We've been in bankruptcy. We've not been able to buy new product. But with this system, we have the product on hand, ready to ship to you, and you're guaranteed to get it. So take action right now. Emergency fundraiser. Last chance to save up to 75% at InfoWarsStore.com. Bodies Ultimate Turmeric Formula, the very strongest, 40% off. Ultimate Fish Oil, the highest quality, incredible, 40% off. Prebiotic Fiber, 75% off. Pain MD, an incredible natural pain reliever, works incredibly. This is a product that I came up with top designers. Final run of that available. Pain MD, 60% off. Nitric Boost, a fan favorite. Dr. Judy Mikovits loves it. Cleans out the heart. So good for the cardiovascular. Spike protein detoxer, and men have a great effect, let's just say, in the man department with it. Nitric Boost, 40% off. Plus, great deals on books, DVDs, shirts, hoodies, and other items at InfoWarsStore.com. So this is probably the last run. These are collectible items. It's history. Help us fight right up to the end, never giving up, and trusting in God for a miracle if that's God's will. But God works through you, so take action, which is probably the last time you can, here in the next month at InfoWarsStore.com.
Is there's going to be a large set of plaintiffs who are going to be dividing up the corpse of InfoWars in the bankruptcy estate.
And money is just one component of that, and not the most important component of it.
Take Alex Jones' platform that he talks about away.
And if you're considering giving him money, I just want you to know that based on the jury's verdict today, it's not a very good bet.
The money's not even really the question for me. The question is, will this suit be successful at stopping him from being on the national stage?
Take him out.
What would you control?
I mean, I really would like to control InfoWars.
No, that's a good answer.
You're tuned in to The American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now at band.video.
All right, welcome back, folks. This is The American Journal. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. I do want to remind you to go to thealexjonesstore.com right now. It's a buy one, get one free sale on all supplements. Just go get your supplements, stock up while you can. And make sure to do your Christmas shopping there as well, thealexjonesstore.com. We cannot do it without you. We, of course, are, you know, expanding and you know, continuing to grow even under all of the oppression from the bankruptcy. But we will really take off just as soon as we get out from under this the wet blanket of the legalisms. It's just a matter of time now. Shouldn't be too long, maybe a month or two. And we should be, you know, geared up and ready to hit the ground running on whatever comes next, whether we stick with InfoWars or go under Alex Jones Network. You support us into the future by going to thealexjonesstore.com. It's good for you. It's good for us. It's good for everybody. Thealexjonesstore.com. Buy one, get one right now on all the major supplements. Well, on all supplements at all. But the supplements are the major product. But while you're there, do some Christmas shopping for the InfoWarrior in your life. You have time now. Now, I'm going to go to some people who disagree with me here. I think maybe Savage Dog disagrees with me. Let's go to clip line number six now. Savage Dog, you're on the air about the bombing of the boats. Go ahead.
Hey, good morning, Harrison. Good to see you again, buddy.
Thank you very much. Good to hear from you.
I got to say, Brianna is a little upgrade on the eyes, but I was hoping you'd come in with your Jerry curl hair today, and I would have had to flip a coin. But that's on you, bro.
I got a haircut yesterday. It was nice.
Yeah. I don't know if I have a disagreement. I just have my own. I don't think I disagree at all.
Okay.
But a little joke. I think that Hegseth is going by the Zombieland rules. Rule number two, the double tap. You got, you know, if you're not, those times when you're not sure your fentanyl smugglers are dead, it's not time to get stingy with your bullets. So take them out. But yeah, I called, Brianna actually brought this up about a month ago about, you know, what's your thoughts on this whole deal? And hey, look, if you're running four freaking 150 horsepower motor, you know, big, you got $100,000 worth of engine behind you. You're not going out to catch a couple of, you know, red snapper. You're going somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
But as, so far as blowing up the boats arbitrarily, I'm not. That's actually not a good word. Targeting boats that you have a, you know, you're good intel, whatever. Okay, let's say they're smuggling the fentanyl. You see the boats up close with the barrels. You know they're transporting. Blowing them up does save American lives, so you don't have Coast Guard cutters having to have shootouts with them, but you're missing out on interrogating those on board to find out if you're really serious about stopping this thing. You're not going after the guys on the boats who are just, you know, steering. They don't know anything. They don't do anything. They're just, their families are probably getting, you know, threatened, whatever. But you're missing out on interrogating them and getting some good intel. So that's one. That's the only thing I'm kind of, you know, disagreeing with the whole strategy of just drone striking.
Right. And well, I agree, and I've said that same thing. That I think, you know, once you blow up like one or two boats, like I think from then on you can maybe just like let the boats know, like, hey, we have you target locked. Like, abandon your boat now, and we'll come pick you up with a cutter. Yeah, I don't think it would really risk that many lives. I don't know. I mean, I guess it'd be a little bit more difficult, but it's also like, what are we using to shoot? I mean, Hellfire missiles. I mean, the missiles, some missiles cost like $10 million. I don't know what we're using to shoot these boats out of the water, but it ain't a cheap endeavor to be doing this stuff. So again, just like, what is the point of it? And so, yeah, it just doesn't make any sense to me. It doesn't make any sense to me. That's why I get people online being like, you're whining. It's like, I'm not whining. I'm just, this is stupid. This is not what I would be doing. If I was the, you know, commander in chief of the U.S. Army, Venezuela wouldn't be on the top 20 things that I do with it. It wouldn't be anywhere near the top 20. There's so many other things that would save so many American lives. I don't think this is one of them. And even if I did want to go after Venezuela, this isn't the way I would do it. So I don't know. It's just, it's stupid. It's nonsensical. And of course, just like I've said a million times, I was against it when Obama was drone striking American citizens. Even though it was, you know, a radical Islamist and he was in the Middle East, it was like, it didn't matter. The American government has to be reined back in when it decides that it has the right to unilaterally declare you an enemy combatant and kill you from the air with no, you know, cross-examination of the evidence or justification whatsoever coming from the government. They just dictate, you are now a terrorist. You now die. It's like, that's not okay. Why would we allow that? That's crazy, and it's going to be turned on us, obviously, I think, in my opinion. Thank you for the call, Savage Dog. There are some people that do disagree with me. Godzilla, I think, disagrees with me about the boat strikes. Give me your take on this, Godzilla.
Hey, I semi-disagree with you. You know, like, I agree, like, obviously, you know, there's always stuff going on in the chessboard that it's not fair that they're going after the risk beast of Venezuela, but it's a, you know, big dog eat little dog world out there. And America being kind of this mega conglomerate company is going to do what it does. Trump's not really a game changer. He's just playing the game. He's not going to change the game. And, you know, he gave his daughter, is married to Kushner. So he's going to have his alliances. He never really ran as like the anti-Jew stuff. So all this pro-Israel stuff, I kind of anticipated is kind of standard MO, which is fine. You know, it's been reeled in better than any other president. But as far as the drug cartel strikes, you know, if there's these speedboats zooming on a course, you know, with these high power motors, not obviously not fishing boats, please, for the love of God, blow them out of the water. I mean, the drug cartels have declared freaking chemical warfare against the children of the United States with drugs for so long. It's ridiculous. They're smoking all these kids all the time. We need to have clean drugs. Even animals in the wilderness will do drugs. They've tracked Russian bears traveling 600 miles just to huff helicopter gas from military helicopter routes. There's dolphins will do sea drugs, certain sea urchins they'll munch on. They'll give them a buzz. The world's out there cruel. It's so cruel, and humans are trying to find escapism. And until we solve it with Jesus and religion, that humans can find a reason why not to escape the world with drugs, alcohol, and sin, combating the devil. People are going to do drugs, and Maha needs to make it that there's clean drugs around. They need to do more strikes like this. They need to strike the cartels where they're producing it, take a B-52 to it, freaking A-10 them. You know, while they're at it, they should do an A-10 strafing run, even though they're retiring them. They should do that on Soros's freaking mansion, for Pete's sake. I mean, they're causing more damage than all Venezuela. You know, so it's a big problem, but at least there's some strikes. Now, if they're not drug boats, that's another thing, but it looks to me that they are, and with the border being shut down, it kind of makes sense that you'd have these cigarette speed boats, you know, zooming in the international waters because they can't do the land routes anymore. They're probably also bringing it in through Canada, but they have so many drones with the thermal up there in Canada on the border, so it's a little tougher as well. But I'm glad they're doing it. I go, you know, I live in Milwaukee. Every day I drive on the street, and there's literal zombies hunched over from the fentanyl. I don't know what they're screaming to themselves. The women sell themselves sexually for no money, and then they get diseases and spread the diseases everywhere in the city, and the guys can't all do it, so they do, like, tranny prostitution, and then they do break-ins, and probably some of them are doing murders for hire, you know, and other crazy hobo stuff. It's like they all need to get scooped up and 5150'd, put away in a mental institution, put away to get taken care of and find rehabilitation. Because a lot of them, what you can tell, are just totally fried. They have holes in the brain like Kim Kardashian. You know, their brains are melted. That's what the drugs do.
Yeah.
And 100%, Harrison, 100%, so you know, they're doing satanic witchcraft BS on the drugs also. So when people do the drugs, they're like part of this grand freaking satanic mass, black mass stuff. They busted the cartels doing Los Muertos worship. And, you know, even like how you're talking about Israel, Israel's like balls deep in the Mexican cartels. They have a president, cartel president, Sheinbaum, first one over there. And even look with El Chapo, his handler wife, wore to court every day the Star of David. And, you know, it's just that another strategy from Israel to do covert ops, drug warfare, poisoning the well type stuff, which they've been found and busted in history. As of late, you could see there was this one study where they did genetic testing on bodies found in a poisoned well, and it was Ashkenazi Jews' DNA in the well, because as punishment for poisoning the well, they throw you in the well. So it's a common tactic. It's gross. We do it too. We did it in Vietnam. We do it with chemicals. We do it with drugs. We do it with napalm, variety of ways. It's just part of the greater death machine. And unfortunately, we're all in there also, and we got to ride this, you know, Grim Reaper surfboard with Trump. And, you know, he's our white rabbit president leading us down the rabbit hole. So I think we're just going to have to eat things like this with the chaos stuff, because it's just going to keep happening, like you said, with Hegseth. They're going to keep going after Hegseth, keep going after Patel, keep going after Trump, because they're insurrectionists and they're trying to protest using their means of the control of media and
and it's never going to end, and nothing's ever going to be good enough. I mean, that again, that's why we just need to defeat these people. The only thing I'll say is, like, I agree with everything you're saying about the drug cartels, and like, I would be more in favor of bombing raids on, you know, Mexican fentanyl production warehouses or the Mexican cartel. You're right about them worshiping the devil. The problem is that, like, not a lot of that has to do with the Venezuelan drug boats. Again, I mean, maybe Grok isn't working off the most recent information, but I think they are. And basically, these boats, I mean, you're not going from Venezuela to Florida on a cigarette boat. Like, it's used for island hopping, and the vast majority of it is cocaine. I think there's a 0 to 1% chance that fentanyl is actually being shipped on these boats, according to Grok, actually. Venezuela serves primarily as a transit hub for cocaine originating from Colombia rather than a major producer or fentanyl source. These go-fast boats, small high-speed vessels often disguised as fishing skiffs, are used for short-haul maritime smuggling along the southern Caribbean corridor. Experts emphasize that Venezuela plays a minor role in drugs reaching the U.S., about 10% of cocaine transshipments, and most U.S.-bound cocaine moving via Pacific routes from Colombia to Mexico. Fentanyl, a key U.S. crisis driver, is almost exclusively smuggled overland from Mexico and not via Venezuelan boats. Recent U.S. military strikes on these boats have targeted vessels in international waters, killing over 60 people. I think the count is 83 at this point. But intelligence shows they mainly carry cocaine to Europe, not U.S.-bound fentanyl. Cocaine fetches higher prices in Europe, driving this shift. And it goes over some of the routes being used, and the primary cargo is almost always cocaine. So, you know, this is the thing. It's like people are like, well, you know, we have to kill the, you know, we have to stop the fentanyl coming over. And it's like, okay, these boats aren't carrying fentanyl. So what are we talking about? If you want to bomb, if you want to aerial strike the Sackler family, I'm all for it. You want to, you know, aerial strike the pharmaceutical companies that are poisoning Americans and causing hundreds of thousands of deaths a year. Great. Go for it. It ain't the Venezuelan boats. I'm sorry. That's the thing that I object to. It's just like, why is this the priority? It doesn't make any sense. It's not about fentanyl. I'm sorry. It's not about, you know, the drug crisis here. The drugs that are being blown up, probably never even going to America in the first place. So what are we doing exactly? What is this? And why are we doing it? It just doesn't make any sense to me. Yeah, I'm against the drug trafficking. Yeah, we need to do something to stop the, you know, out of control drug crime in this country. I mean, Austin's the same way. Literal zombies. It's horrifying. Like, it's actually terrifying knowing that there are just these insane people wandering around my neighborhood with, like, machetes just out of their minds. And, like, you look in their eyes and it's just there's nothing there. And there's something, I mean, it's like a rabid dog, like totally unpredictable, not guided by human concerns at all. Why are these people here? And it's not because Venezuelan drug boats are bringing drugs over and tricking these people. It's because of the opioid crisis that was caused by the Sackler family and Purdue Pharmacy and these methods by which these operations that they carried out to convince doctors to overprescribe them. It's about the lenient drug laws that are being passed now, especially in places like Portland and Washington, where open air consumption of drugs is like encouraged and they hand out needles. Like, there's so many things we could do to fight the horror that you're talking about, the absolutely devastating effects of drugs on American culture. Going after Venezuela is not one of them. It's not going to help. It's not going to contribute to that effort. So just don't be fooled into thinking that it is. Like, yeah, it's a big problem. No, this is not a solution to it. I don't know why that's hard for people to understand. Let's go to Marcus in Idaho now. He says I was acting a fool yesterday. Go ahead, Marcus. You're on the air.
Yeah, Harrison, you're a douche. It's like yesterday you start freaking out and yelling and stuff, and it's ridiculous. As far as your take on the drug boats, you have no idea if Grok is telling the truth. I mean, come on, man. It's not really the intelligence out there. You don't know. I mean, you have an idea of what you would do, but people in the government, like Pete Hegseth, know a hell of a lot more than any of us and what they're doing. And so, I mean, you're second guessing this administration all the time. You've got serious TDS. You're not a little Alex Jones. You're not a little Mark Levine. We should stop it, man.
All right. Do you have a point, Marcus? What was I yelling about yesterday?
I don't know. You just go off. You just, the whole world bad. You guys are stupid. Everybody's stupid. I'm the smartest one in the world. You know, it's just like, doggone. I don't know what's up with you, man, but you got some serious issues.
Okay. I thought you had like an actual thing that I said that you objected to, but you're
I object to most everything you say. I mean, it's like, dang. I mean, if you were intelligent and really, you know, kind of really looking into this, you're it's all about your emotional state with everything, and you don't come across really in a really strong mental state when you go off like that. And it's like everything that you said about Israel, man, it's just been like, you know what? You keep on going against Trump, and you keep on attacking Trump, and a month later, it shows up that he was absolutely doing the right thing. You were wrong. He was right.
About
That's
what?
Why he's the president. And you
about what?
It. Just about everything. Just about everything.
Okay, everything. Okay. Well, can you mention one thing?
I don't really listen to you that strongly.
Okay, all right. All right, thanks for the call, Marcus. It's great. It's very funny. I don't think I yelled at all yesterday. I think the only time I yelled was when the crew was playing the Indian music and I was yelling him to take it down because I didn't want to listen to that crap. Pretty sure that was the only yelling I did, and that was a joke. So sorry to upset you, Marcus. I don't even know what to make of all that. Yeah, Trump is failing. I mean, that's the real concern here. I'm sorry that that's the case, but I want him to succeed. I want him to stop prioritizing things that don't actually matter. I want him to stop doing, like, why are we doing anything that can even be portrayed as a war crime? Well, why are we doing that? What are we doing? What does Pete Hegseth know that I don't? Why would you think that Grok was wrong about where fentanyl comes from? I mean, it's pretty well established. Most of the illegal fentanyl comes from productions in Mexico with precursors that come from China. I mean, does anybody deny that? Is that not true? I thought it was about, I mean, yeah, I don't like watching my country be sold down the river while we have done everything we can to put the correct people in charge, and they're not, it's not they're not just doing what is sufficient to get us back on track and actually save this country, but a lot of what they're doing is exactly the opposite of that. The 600,000 Chinese students, the H-1B visa expansion. I mean, these things are in diametrically opposed to our interest. Why would I be in support of that? What exactly are we getting from the Trump administration that I should be celebrating? I'm happy that they closed the border. I'm happy that they are deporting people. I certainly wouldn't, if we go back in time, I thank God every day we aren't in a Kamala Harris presidency. I don't hate Trump. I don't even dislike Trump. It's just, what are we doing? We're running out of time here. We're like about to lose our majority in Congress and we haven't even accomplished anything. Nothing's happened. So, I mean, what, again, where's the, I'm like the least emotional person who does this. I'm like, pretty much everybody else is a right-wing talk show host. I feel like goes more sort of off the rails than I do. I'm pretty logical in all of this stuff. I really don't get bent out of shape about any of it. So I'm not, I think you might be hallucinating, Marcus. I think you might be insane, actually. If you think that I'm like emotionally responding to this stuff, I'm literally looking at it in the most clinical way possible. And everybody else seems to be guided by emotions that are easily manipulatable. That's the frustrating part. And yeah, democracy is a mistake. People are stupid. I don't know what else to tell you. If there's a better explanation for it, I'm ready and willing to hear it. But again, they're about to vote in a woman in Nashville who's on tape saying she hates Nashville. If that's not stupidity, I don't know what it is. I don't know what else it is. Why are we bombing these places? It's like, it's hard to take any of that seriously when all of this stuff is just so imminently predictable. And we say what's going to happen and then it happens. And then people are mad at us about it. It's like, what? What do we do wrong? I don't even get it. So, yeah, good try, Marcus, I guess. I don't know if that was supposed to upset me or something. I guess I'm so emotional. You know, whatever. Good point. Let's go to Tim. Let's go to Tim now. Tim in North America on line one. Go ahead, Tim. Project Genesis. What is this?
Project Genesis is the fusion of 17 government agencies to basically command and control the entire happenings in the United States, brother.
Okay.
We're going into the AI police grid.
Yes.
It's going to be Project Gotham, which is Palantir's protocol for surveillance. That's going to be nationwide. And that's Trump. Yeah. No, well, actually, I think it's just in Chicago, Miami, and New York for Gotham. But it's going to be nationwide. There's no excuse for this. What are we doing here allowing this to happen? We're not allowing this to happen. It's happening around us. And there's not a whole lot we can do. We can talk about all the things that they want us to talk about, or we can talk about this. I think that this is probably the most pressing issue of our century. right here, an AI control grid that can't be turned off. It's going to control the Internet of Body, the Internet of Things. It's basically going to make sure that that when you go into a grocery store, the doors won't open for you unless you qualify. That's where we're going, you know. And so what are we going to do about it is the question I have, because they've announced it, but now it's up for us to do something about it, if there's anything that can be done about it. And the only thing I really think that can be done about it is, of course, voicing our opinions. The White House has put together a comment line, 202-456-1111, and you can call and you can let them know your opinions on the matter. But past that, man, what do you think is going to be a good counteraction to this?
Well, it's all kind of part of the same fight that we're waging here. You know, Project Gotham is what Alex Karp was referring to when he says that Palantir single-handedly stopped the rise of the far right in Europe. He's talking about the Gotham program. Now, of course, Alex Karp is running around right now acting like, you know, he's a conservative or something. But, you know, it's his program that stopped the rise of the far right, that is, you know, destroyed nationalism in Europe. Now, I think he's being braggadocious a little bit. I don't think you can single-handedly say that you did that, but obviously he's got some basis for making that claim. That being unrolled in America is not good. I mean, we've been covering this extensively. So I don't know. What do you think we should do about it? I mean, to me, again, it all sort of is the same story. Like, it's the same people that are running Palantir that are the people that are in the Epstein list, right? It's the same. It's Larry Ellison and his son that are coordinating with Jeffrey Epstein to get Tony Blair over the Gaza project. Like, this is all one, you know, giant fight against the control freak New World Order and America. And obviously AI is making big inroads right now, and Trump is helping them with that. So I don't know. What's your idea to combat this? We can make people aware of it, but
I'm
beyond
not
that,
like my idea. He ain't gonna like my idea, but the only real idea that I have is to put everything in the harbor. Like, as much as this AI technology that they've given us and sold us is going to be implements of and tools of the future, I think this all has to go in the harbor, and that's probably the only message that needs to be sent. Everything else is a waste of time. Everything else is just, it's half measures, it's weakness, it's grandstanding, it's virtue signaling. Unless, and I have to talk myself into doing it as well. I'm not just, because throwing my phone and the computer into the harbor is going to be a difficult task. But once you get to that point,
this is a conundrum. Those are the weapons we use to fight what's happening. So you can't throw your weapons away and keep fighting, but the weapons are turned against you. I don't know, man. It's tough.
Everything we do is the tip of the spear. You are the tip of the spear when you spread the word, when you pray for us, when you buy products. So listen, we have shortfalls, and they're not even that big, but I understand the economy's totally shot. Our audience is as big as it's ever been, and back when the economy was going and we had an audience this big, we'd be in high cotton and I'd be able to expand. Right now, I'm just trying to stay on air. So I need you to make the decision to go to thealleyshowstore.com right now and take advantage of the biggest sale ever. Black Friday came early. That's right, Black Friday has come early. We always launch it the weekend before Black Friday. Be a little different. Black Friday comes early. Mega sale, the biggest sale ever. Buy one, get one free on all supplements. The Irish Sea Moss, the Ultra Methylene Blue, the Shilajit, the Bovine Colostrum, and dozens of other amazing products. This is the biggest sale we've ever done. Ends Friday, November 28th. Buy any supplement and get any other supplement for free. Normally, it's buy one bottle of Irish Sea Moss, get another bottle of Irish Sea Moss, or buy one bottle of Methylene Blue, get another bottle. No, this is add any supplement to your cart and get another supplement free. You can mix and match any of our amazing supplements together. Don't miss out. This offer ends Friday, November 28th. Visit thealleyshowstore.com today and fuel your body, mind, and power the info war. Take advantage of this amazing deal while supplies last. And here's another little tidbit that makes this a total loss leader when you use it. If you go to alexjonesapp.com and download the Droid or Apple app for free, that are the top apps, just in the last few months we launched it, folks at Bigly, the Alex Jones channel, the Alex Jones network, it's the same shopping cart on the app for your desktop or phone, You get an additional 20% off at checkout on top. So everybody should get the app and should definitely use that. But if you want to support us more, get more funds in, then don't use the app and get the additional 20% off. I'm serious. It's like a form of a donation. When I tell you that I need your support, it's absolutely critical. This is the most critical time.